Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ICFirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life. But when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick. Everyone, the Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 113 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Katie.
And this episode is sponsored by Keith Warren. Thank you, Keith.
Thanks, Keith.
Woo. Thank you.
You bomb.
So Sarah is out again for this episode. She is taking a much needed break from her super crazy busy life. So she's just having a nice evening to herself. Rightfully deserved. Mm-hmm. So today we will be discussing the second half of chapter 35 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, Veritaserum. So make sure that you have read that chapter and you're ready to blank your way into the details. Before we begin, let's go to Megan for some weekly profit news.
You have one for all the other episodes.
Oh, well.
All right.
Tis life.
So I wanted to tell everybody about a new little con that we discovered.
Yes.
Called Ironton Wizard Fest that's happening in good old Ironton, Ohio, which is literally in the middle of nowhere.
I'm just going to say I didn't even know that place existed. As
same.
An Ohioan.
Literally yep, no idea. Either.
But our buddies, Chris Rankin and James Payton, will be there, which means we'll be there.
Heck yes.
It's not confirmed if Sarah is coming, but if she can, she will.
Yes.
But the three of us will definitely be there. And we would love to hang out with anybody who is nearby. It is November 9th and 10th. I believe that we're going to go both days.
It's only like $10, right?
I might be in for one.
Okay.
I don't know. TBD.
We'll figure it out.
Listen, if I can convince the Martinius. It also depends on if he has Browns tickets. So it depends.
Oh, for that weekend?
Well, I don't know when he has Browns tickets, but they like bought season tickets and then they split them amongst their friend group.
Oh, okay.
Oh, all right. We'll figure it out. Yes,
well,
another TBD.
Maybe he can come.
You're cute.
I think he'd get along with James.
Oh, he would have a great time. He would have a great time. It's just we got to find out Miss Rose.
Mm-hmm. Bring her along. I'll hold her while he drinks a beer. It's fine.
She will not let you.
And she'll just give me the look.
She'll cling to my shoulder.
I know. So hopefully we can meet some people, hang out with our buds, and enjoy it.
Yeah. See what it's all about. We will give the full report if you can't make it.
We will.
Yep.
Tiffany, what time is it?
It's time for the cap-cap-cap-cap-cap-cap-ree.
That was nice.
You're welcome.
So last time, Harry made it out of the graveyard alive and back to Hogwarts. Judy dragged Harry away and interrogated him and revealed he's the one who put Harry's name in the hot cup of fire. But then Dumbledore bursts in, and we find out Judy's a fake, and we find the real, we can finally say it, Moody.
Mm-hmm. It's been a minute since we've said Moody.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of feels weird.
It does. I mean, I'm going to have to, I think last episode I was like, Judy, no, Barty Crouch Jr.
Yeah.
So it's going to be different.
I think we feel like Harry in this situation. Like, he probably feels weird too. Even though we called him Moody the whole time, but he's probably like,
Yeah, it's interesting.
Ooh, who's doing the summary?
Oh, me. Sorry.
It's her.
Wake up.
So Moody has actually been Judy, Barty Crouch Jr., using Polyjuice Potion for the entire school year. Junior tells everyone how he did it all, escaped Azkaban, escaped his father's hold, and how he got to Moody and Hogwarts plans.
Mm.
Many truths were revealed. Dun, dun, dun.
Are you ready to get into the meat and potatoes of this book?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is big. This chapter was a lot. So obviously
it was a lot to take in.
Yeah.
Especially that first time around.
It's like really good that it's split because like I can't imagine talking about all of this in one episode.
No, I mean, three of us literally talked for
two and a half hours.
Oh, wow.
Before editing, but still 2.5 hours.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot of hours on half of a chapter. Yeah, that's why we're splitting them. All right, so let's dive into this a little bit. So where we left off was Dumbledore had sent McGonagall and Snape out on their little odd missions that they didn't question.
Right.
Thankfully. And so Harry and Dumbledore are just like sitting here and waiting for Judy to transform back. So here we go. So the Polyjuice potion had worn off, and lying before Harry was a pale-skinned, slightly freckled man with a mop of fair-colored hair. And Harry knew who he was because of the Pensieve, although he was looking much older. This was dun-dun-dun, Barty Crouch Jr.
What? Plot twist of the century.
Seriously.
But honestly.
Yeah. I mean, because
I did not see this. No clue.
Not a clue.
Just see him as in one memory, and that's all you know of, you know? So to him, he's not even a slightly significant, or to the reader, he's not even a slightly significant character at all.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, he's literally the backbone of this entire book?
Yeah.
Like, because if you think about, like, where you always, like, see new characters are always, like, the bad guys coming up. Well, she showed you a ton of people in that Pensieve, and she showed you Karkaroff, and, you know.
She played it up to be a lot of different people, potentially.
Yeah, she really, really did. So, I mean, I was floored with everybody else. So there were hurried footsteps just outside the door, and Snape had returned, and Winky the House Elf was at his heels, and then McGonagall was right behind them. So McGonagall took Sirius in his animagus form to Dumbledore's office. So that's where Sirius is right now. So Winky comes in. She is beside herself. She is calling Barty Crouch Jr. Master Barty. She's trying to fling herself on his chest. She starts yelling that they have killed him. He's really knocked out. He's stupefied. But Dumbledore reassures her and tells her that it's simply a stunning spell and that she needs to step aside, pretty much. And so Dumbledore asks Snape for the potion, and Snape hands him a small bottle of a completely clear liquid, Veritaserum. Tricky, 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 right? So there is an article on the former Pottermore, now WizardingWorld.com. Which it actually translated over. So we were talking in an earlier episode how some of the articles are absolutely gone. The pages are not found if you have previous links. So I did these notes, goodness, maybe a month ago, if not more. And so all my links say Pottermore.com, which Pottermore is no longer a thing. It is the WizardingWorld.com. This article translated over, which I was lucky, and my other article translated over, which I was like, thank goodness. So under Veritaserum, it says, this powerful truth serum is what is used on Barty Crouch Jr. at the end of Goblet of Fire, so you know it's made of strong stuff. With a bottle of this in the back of the cupboard, there'd be no pretending to mom it wasn't you who kicked a football through the back window again. Obviously, you're not going to use it for that. But we do know that Umbridge tries to use it on Harry in book 5.
What a B.
And luckily, Harry is smart enough to, closes his lips real tight and pretends to drink the tea. It dribbles down him a little bit. But she does give it to other people, and she actually uses up Snape's entire stock of Veritaserum, which I'm sure this is a potion that, like other potions, is exceptionally hard to make. I bet Hermione looks it up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's gonna
be
expensive.
In 6, when they're talking about getting the memory from Slughorn.
Yeah.
And it takes 3 months to
brew it.
Mature or something like
something
this.
Something crazy.
Yeah.
Because they think about using it, right? On Slughorn.
Yeah. But Hermione's no, Dumbledore asked you to get the memory because it's something about you, not what you can do. Dumbledore can do whatever he wants with potions and spells and whatever.
So smart that Hermione.
Although, Felix. Just saying.
Felix.
I just feel like Hagrid's is the place to be tonight.
He's so great in that scene.
Do you know what I mean?
No. But then I put in an article about Latin, and it must have been because of Veritaserum. So I just have to scroll through here real quick and find what I was looking for.
Pig Latin?
No, this article looks different than it was when it was still on Pottermore.
What are they doing? All right, while you're looking, I'm just going
to
say that right here.
No, it was about the word Veritaserum.
Why would they get rid of it? Vinny says Verita is truth.
Yeah, that's
so truth. It's literally truth serum.
Truth serum, yeah.
Thank you, Vinny.
So I was looking for it, but the old one had a little explanation about it.
Steph says verify. Verita.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
So
I'm saving this article for our Boston.
Oh yeah, it's a great one for our Boston discussion and panel. But I just wish it was still in there. That's really weird that they would delete part of it. But anywho, let's move forward. So Dumbledore, and I'm just going to call him Junior. Dumbledore pulls Junior to a sitting position and pours 3 drops of the Veritaserum inside his mouth. And then he says, renovate, which basically means
wake up. Renovate. The truth potion Veritaserum from Veritas Truth.
What section was it? It was at the end.
Language of Magic.
One teeny tiny little tic-tac spot.
Yeah, it was one
gosh,
sentence.
Goodness gracious. Okay. So immediately Junior opens his eyes, Dumbledore crouches to his level and asks if Junior can hear him. And he has to tell the truth, right? And so you can tell that Dumbledore has a plan. So he asks Junior how he came to be here and how did he escape Azkaban. So Dumbledore's going and he's like, I'm not going to talk about tonight just yet. I need to verify that I know the entire story from beginning to end. So that I can
provide this information.
Provide the information, make my plans. You know, he's always got a plan. So,
man with the plan.
Junior takes a deep, shuddering breath, and then he begins to speak. Sorry,
continue.
I'm very good at public speaking.
Better than me.
Now I lost my train of thought.
Speaking.
So, whoop, Junior. Whoop. Takes a deep, shuddering breath, and he begins to speak in a flat, expressionless voice. So I imagine this is just the potion working, where he's literally nothing but truth is coming out.
No control. I mean, it's just,
He has to do it, so it's I'm just going to explain this in the most drab way possible. So
robot.
He says, quote, my mother saved me. She knew she was dying. She persuaded my father to rescue me as a last favor to her. He loved her as he had never loved me. He agreed. They came to visit me. They gave me a draught of polyjuice potion containing one of my mother's hairs. She took the draught of polyjuice potion containing one of my hairs. We took each other's appearance. So Winky's basically mortified by this. She tells him to say no more because he is getting his father into trouble. But because of the potion, Junior continues on.
Does it really matter that he is getting his father into trouble because his father is dead?
Winky don't know.
Doesn't she?
Not yet.
Well, I guess she knows that he's missing.
Mm-hmm. She finds out.
That's what people think.
Which is really sad for her.
Right, it is.
Because she truly did love the family.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, as Tiff said, him and his mother switched spots. And that's how he was able to get out. Because what is guarding Azkaban is Dementors. And we learn here that Dementors are blind. Because they don't see any of this happen.
Correct.
They just feel one alive and one dying person entering Azkaban and one dying and one alive person leaving Azkaban. They can't tell. They didn't see the exchange of Polyjuice Potion happen. Mm-hmm. They didn't see any of that.
Kind of like similar to like when they just sensed like Sirius. Like Sirius turning into the dog, which is different than...
Yep.
Right. They couldn't feed off of him.
Yeah.
I pulled up the Dementor fact file.
All right. Well, you want to make fun of me for, whatever I said.
They're clearly flex. Okay. Spleek or flex.
Whatever.
Okay.
So I pulled up their wiki page since Pottermore doesn't have a fact file on them anymore.
Yeah,
actually,
what?
WizardingWorld.com doesn't.
When did you check? Today?
Today. Yeah.
It's there. Nope, that's my article. Bye. Yeah,
different.
Bye.
So,
I'm going to look again anyway.
She doesn't believe me, folks.
I don't.
Dementors. So we find out that they are blind and... I mean, I guess I knew that already because Harry just describes them as having like scabby looking faces, right? God, it's just so gross. I just like, they are just like.
Don't they have just like a thin,
gross
like
creatures.
I imagine like an
they have a
eyelid,
sucker.
But like scabbed.
Yeah. I imagine it like they been. Look, it looks like they have a face, but it's just a big gold scab. Gross.
I don't even like
the I think
word
that they
scab.
Did a great job. Of
what
they looked like in the movies. You know what I'm saying?
Do you know what I'm saying?
Do you hear what I'm putting down?
Do you hear what I hear?
So Winky's like really freaking out as Barty begins really like spilling this whole story to Dumbledore under Veritaserum because as a house elf, she is incredibly loyal. And to her, this is Barty Crouch Jr. just betraying his father.
Yeah.
And that's all she cares about. She doesn't care about all of the wrongdoing that has happened. She just cares about the loyalty that's being broken.
Is she a puff?
For sure. I feel like all house elves are.
No, I think Dobby's a Griff.
But he's loyal, man.
Yeah, but he's also
he's
brave.
Very brave. And he values everything that Harry Potter is.
You can be
he
super loyal and be a Griff.
He is also annoying, so I guess that doesn't matter.
I'm not
going to
fight
you.
I'm not going to fight you on it. Why is the tape coming up?
Guys, Sarah in the chat says she bets that Dementors smell like a grandparent's couch.
Is that why they put plastic over them?
Oh, boy. Okay, so Junior keeps continuing on with the story in the same flat voice that the Veritaserum is giving him. The Dementors are blind. They sensed one healthy, one dying person entering Azkaban. They sensed one healthy, one dying person leaving it. My father smuggled me out, disguised as my mother, in case any prisoners were watching through their doors. My mother died a short while afterward in Azkaban. She was careful to drink Polyjuice Potion until the end. She was buried under my name and bearing my appearance. Everyone believed her to be me. So, question.
Oh, I have a question, too.
Oh, yeah.
How long did it take them? Do you think that it was just a pretty quick burial because they don't really do much? Because I would think that I guess I always assumed that if you died under Polyjuice Potion, you would like immediately turn back, which obviously is wrong. It must still have its lingering effects.
I think that they probably, Dementors probably do the burial. They don't know that you changed back.
No, for sure. But like it says here specifically, she was buried under my name and bearing my appearance.
They're probably like stalking. They know that she / who they think is he is dying.
Right.
And so they're like right there, like getting ready for it.
True. So they're probably just ready.
Yeah. And here's my question. So do you think there are any wizards that are posted up at Azkaban? And if so, are they just around the outside and they don't go in?
Because I don't know.
If they were in there, misery, hello. And B, because it's like being in Azkaban, you know what I mean? But B, they would have seen everything that happened.
I don't think that there are other workers besides Dementors. That's my headcanon, at least.
That's bonkers to me that they would let that happen. How can you work there when it's just misery? But you'd have to have your Patronus out constantly. I guess that's what Umbridge did when she was at the ministry. So they don't have any ministry workers there.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
That's why they shut it down after the war.
Yeah.
Well, that's why Voldemort was like, yo, let's go. Nobody.
Like, look, this is the perfect opportunity.
Why would they work for the ministry?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. Right.
Right. Well, because they're getting souls. I don't know. Why couldn't they just go rogue?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Voldemort made them
of it makes sense to me. I don't get it.
It's a weird situation.
It is super weird.
I just, yeah. So I guess it doesn't really matter. I mean, like, he says that she was buried, bearing his appearance, but, like, in reality, how would anybody ever truly know that if the Dementors just took care of everything, you know? Because, like, they're blind.
Yeah, I bet they do.
So he continues and says, everyone believed her to be me. Dumbledore asks, and what did your father do with you when he got you home? Staged my mother's death, a quiet, private funeral. That grave is empty. The house elf nursed me back to health. Then I had to be concealed. I had to be controlled. My father had to use a number of spells to subdue me. When I had recovered my strength, I thought only of finding my master, of returning to his service. So,
Is this boring you?
Yes. No. do you think that at any point Barty Crouch Sr. realized what he got himself into?
Oh, I'm sure.
Like obviously, I think that his mother doubted his, she doubted his conviction.
Right.
But I don't think Sr. really did.
Nope.
And that it solidified that he really was guilty.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Miss Clifton! No, that's a Family Guy joke. Do you think the only reason why Barty Crouch Sr. went through with this was because the mom made him make the unbreakable vow?
Oh. Because why else would he, honestly?
He loved her. That's what he said. And he's telling the truth.
Right.
Ooh.
And maybe that's why he was so frantic to, like, make sure everything played out the way that it should. Because if it got broken, he was dead.
Yep.
I like that theory a lot.
I like that a lot. Also, I think he probably thought things were fine until Junior started fighting it. And then I think Senior would have been I'm in trouble.
He hated him. He took his love away.
Yeah.
Yeah. On top of, like, he already didn't have a relationship with his son because he wasn't around.
Also, why doesn't Junior have a protection? The mom died for him. Love.
He's a baddie.
He's a bad guy.
That is true. But I wonder if maybe it's because it wasn't as, like, instant as Harry's mother. I wonder if that has, like, that plays into it.
I don't know. Questions.
But I would assume that means that the protection carries under that house. But then when he leaves that house, kind of similar to Harry, like, had he left.
But didn't Dumbledore perform that piece? Dumbledore did that.
True. I don't know.
Thoughts of thing.
Super thoughts of thing. Discord, what say you? I'm always interested.
What say you, pious?
Pious.
Okay. How did your father subdue you? Said Dumbledore. The Imperius curse. I was under my father's control. I was forced to wear an invisibility cloak day and night.
That would get out.
I was always with the house elf. She was my keeper and caretaker.
Oh, there's his invisibility cloak. That's why that was in the drawer.
Oh, yeah, it was his. Got it. She pitied me. She persuaded my father to give me occasional treats, rewards for my good behavior. And Winky is, like, freaking out. And I don't think that it's, like, she doesn't care that she's clearly wrapped up in this and she's, like, potentially in trouble. She, again, is...
Senior.
It's clearly just about being loyal to Senior.
Mm.
Did anybody ever discover that you were still alive? Said Dumbledore softly. Did anyone know except your father and the house elf? Yes, said Crouch, his eyelids flickering again.
Full circle.
I thought you saw a spider.
Huh?
I don't care about spiders. I would make that sound for a centipede.
So
spiders, no.
This whole part of the story blew my mind when I read it.
This is what
the
no
first
one
time.
Ever could have.
Like, nobody ever could have thought this. Like, you never would have predicted this, in my opinion. But again, I have some interesting thoughts that I'll go back to after I read this. She says, he says, a witch in my father's office, Bertha Jorkins. She came to the house with papers for my father's signature. He was not at home. Winky showed her inside and returned to the kitchen, to me. But Bertha Jorkins heard Winky talking to me. She came to investigate. She heard enough to guess who was hiding under the invisibility cloak. My father arrived home.
Oh, my God. What?
I'm sorry, this is so boring to you.
I'm so bored.
I'm sorry, we're not talking about friends.
I'm so bored. My father arrived home. She confronted him. He put a very powerful memory charm on her to make her forget what she'd found out. Too powerful. He said it damaged her memory permanently.
That is a sad tweet.
That's crazy.
It is. So I say to this. Winky was such an integral part of this storyline, and it makes me wonder why they cut her from the movies. I mean, I guess overall they make
Dobby
it work.
Was, like, terrible looking.
Maybe they were having like because if
they
you,
cut he was in
you
four was he?
Dobby?
He's not in four, is he?
No, he isn't.
Mm-hmm. Is he in four?
Uh-uh.
No,
the whole, he doesn't come.
Yeah,
back.
He's not back till seven.
SPEW doesn't exist.
Yeah. So they probably thought he looked like garbage in Chamber. He didn't, though. He looked better than Grop.
Yeah.
I agree.
Oh, yeah.
I agree. But then also, so Bertha discovered Barty. And that was why Crouch Sr. didn't want to go looking for her when she went missing. I bet you. Because, yes, he messed up her memory, like, permanently. He thinks that he did permanent damage. But he is so... He is so into making sure that he looks top of the line, like nothing is wrong with him.
Perfect.
He's perfect. He has no faults. If she remembers any inkling of anything, even by chance, he's ruined.
And so he knows
she
goes,
a talker. Yep. She goes missing and he's like, good riddance. I'm not sending anyone to look for her.
He never looked for her. He never sent anybody to look for her. That's why everybody was like, she's still missing. And Barty Crouch is like, yeah, we're on it. No, we're not on it.
But he wasn't
doing
jack nothing.
Why.
No. Why would he?
And it was all to save face.
It's counterproductive.
So.
Well, it's also probably to save his life, because what if it goes wrong?
Right.
Like, is that part of the theorized unbreakable vow?
Possibly. Her being gone was better for him, so he wanted to leave it that way.
Yep.
And because of his ignorance with that, what happened? Literally everything, right? He let her go and in his mind thinking, oh, she's better off gone, wrong, because she landed in the wrong hands and they learned everything and it ruined Barty Sr.'s life.
Well,
literally took his life.
Because Because even though he messed her up,
Voldemort still got through it.
Voldemort broke into that. That's how good he is.
Yeah. So the fact that Barty was just like, oh, good riddance with her. She's better off gone. He ended up literally just like throwing her to the wrong person. And that right there is why all of this happened. That is why the Triwizard tournament happened. Yep. That's why Cedric died. That's why Voldemort is back. That's why Barty Crouch Jr. got out of his hold. That's why he got killed.
Like, blame Barty Crouch Sr.
All because
blame him.
He is so full of himself and wants to be perfect. It's ridiculous. I never made that connection until this read where I was just thinking, I'm like, oh my God, like he literally made all of this happen. None of that would have happened had he actually gone to look for her and they found her. It would have happened in a different way.
Voldy would have come back in a different way. Yeah. But
it wouldn't have been in that powerful of a way. Right. Because how would he have been able to get to Harry without any other plan?
I don't know. He walked
like
into
the Triwizard tournament was literally handed to him on a platter. You know,
it's like a joke. Voldemort Wormtail. Walk into Hogwarts. But Voldemort's coming in a baby buggy.
A pram.
A pram, if you will.
No, but like, honestly, it's just, I don't know. That literally like blew my mind. I was like, oh my God, this whole scheme happened because of Barty Crouch's pride.
Core bottom line example and lesson from here. Your actions have consequences.
Yeah. And sometimes major.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sure, he would have come back, but he probably wouldn't have been able to get to Harry the way that he did. He wouldn't have been able to, have that blood curse, not blood curse, have like the blood protection from Harry's mom go away. There would have been no way for him to have done that without Bertha Jorkins. Thank you, Barty Crouch Sr. You're a jerk. Not a fan.
Crazy.
Oh, okay. Megan told us how she felt.
Yep. So Winky,
but no, I agree with you.
It's just crazy. It's just crazy. Okay, so I have a little bit more, a lot of bit more to read about his life and what has been going on. Winky talked to my father. Oh, hold on. Dumbledore says, "Tell me about the Quidditch World Cup." Winky talked my father into it, said Crouch, still in the same monotonous voice. She spent months persuading him. I had not left the house for years. I had loved Quidditch. Let him go, she said. He will be in his invisibility cloak. He can watch. Let him smell fresh air for once. She said, my mother would have wanted it. She told my father that my mother had died to give me freedom. She had not saved me for a life of imprisonment. He agreed in the end. It was carefully planned. My father led me and Winky up to the top box early in the day. Winky was to say that she was saving a seat for my father. I was to sit there invisible. When everyone had left the box, we would emerge. Winky would appear to be alone. Nobody would ever know. But Winky didn't know that I was growing stronger. I was starting to fight my father's imperious curse. There were times when I was almost myself again. There were brief periods when I seemed outside his control. It happened there in the top box. It was like waking from a deep sleep. Mm-hmm. I found myself out in public in the middle of the match, and I saw in front of me a wand sticking out of a boy's pocket. I had not been allowed a wand since before Azkaban. I stole it. Winky didn't know. Winky is frightened of heights. She had her face hidden. He's so manipulative.
Winky didn't know that Barty Crouch Jr. took the wand out of Harry's pocket.
So at this point, Winky's now learning new information. Because she...
This is brand new information!
Because I don't think that she really ever had the opportunity to really talk to Junior about any of this that happened.
Correct.
So she says, Master Barty, you bad boy. So you took the wand, said Dumbledore, and what did you do with it? We went back to the tent, said Crouch. Then we heard them. We heard the Death Eaters, the ones who had never been to Azkaban, the ones who had never suffered for my master. They had turned their backs on him. They were not enslaved as I was. They were free to seek him, but they did not. They were merely making sport of muggles. The sound of their voices awoke me. My mind was clearer than it had been in years. I was angry.
Literal voices? Or do you think there's like a death buddy way?
I always envisioned it as literal voices,
okay. But...
You mean like a Twilight fake werewolf kind of thing where they can all communicate inside their heads?
Yeah.
That was dumb.
Okay. Oh, quit it. Because if Death Buddies could do it, you'd be like, that's cool, man.
Okay, it's
cool. It's so cool and, like, dark magic-y. So awesome.
It's pretty cool that shapeshifters can do it, but they're not werewolves.
No, they're not.
I was angry. I had the wand. I wanted to attack them for their disloyalty to my master. My father had left the tent. He had gone to free the muggles. Winky was afraid to see me so angry. She used her own brand of magic to bind me to her. She pulled me from the tent. Hell's By the way, man. Their magic is so cool.
It's so cool. I need to know more.
But this explains Harry, Ron, and Hermione saw Winky struggling, remember?
They did, and they didn't understand why, and it was because she was strapped. She was bound to Barty Crouch Jr. in the invisibility cloak.
Yeah.
Barty Crouch Jr. She pulled me from the tent, pulled me into the forest, away from the Death Buddies. I tried to hold her back. I wanted to return to the campsite. I wanted to show those Death Eaters what loyalty to the Dark Lord meant and to punish them for their lack of it.
Well, why aren't they throwing up dark marks anyway? If you're going to go out in your little hood and be a loser,
it was just for fun,
and throw up a dark mark, like, why not? You know, you're doing everything else.
I think it's because they know the repercussions of using the dark mark.
But they're out there in their hoods anyway.
They're cowards.
But they're cowards. Exactly. So, like, they're doing what they feel like they can get away with without real repercussions. Not that they shouldn't have real repercussions for what they did, because they should. But I think that as soon as you put the dark mark with it, then it's, like, serious. You know what I mean? Kind of like the, I mean, it's serious no matter what, because, like I said, what they're doing is terrible, and I'm obviously in no way condoning that behavior, but, like,
murder.
They're not.
You mean? Because that's when they throw it up, was more when there's murder.
Right.
So they're not
exactly
murdering, so
they're
it's
just
not
playing for fun, which
barf.
Is sickening.
It's disgusting. Well,
it is,
I almost
luscious,
swear.
You know?
Yeah.
I almost said a swing.
I spilled water down my cheek.
We still love you.
Thanks.
I used the stolen wand to cast the dark mark into the sky. Ministry wizards arrived. They shot stunning spells everywhere. One of the spells came through the trees where Winky and I stood. The bond connecting us was broken. We were both stunned.
Nice.
When Winky was discovered, my father knew I must be nearby. He searched the bushes where she had been found and felt me lying there.
Wait, they were both stunned?
Mm-hmm.
Was he thrown that far then?
No, he was right there. But Barty Crouch Sr. is the one that went to go look, remember?
Say this again.
Ministry wizards arrived. Uh-huh. They shot stunning spells everywhere.
Okay.
One of the spells came through the trees where Winky and I stood.
Mm-hmm.
The bond connecting us was broken.
Okay.
We were both stunned.
Okay, but if he's stunned, how can he move? So is he just
under the invisibility cloak. When Winky was discovered, my father knew I must be nearby. He searched the bushes.
It just makes it seem like they were blown apart, literally. Like, he's still under the cloak, but it sounds like when they were stunned, the bond broke and then it went boom. Because if he's nearby checking bushes, that's probably away from Winky.
Maybe. I retract my
statement.
It does
throw people, though.
Senior didn't find Winky. Diggory did, I believe. Amos. Diggory found her and brought her, but he didn't look any further than that. He just saw her and grabbed her. And then that's why Senior went to go look through the bushes, because he's like, oh, shoot, Winky's there.
Right.
Junior's got to be here, too.
Right.
And then he felt him. So it says, he felt me lying there. He waited until the other ministry members had left the forest. He put me back under the Imperious curse and took me home. He dismissed Winky. She had failed him. She had let me acquire a wand. She had almost let me escape.
Honestly, but though, it was stupid for him to let her go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But once again, he's, like, not thinking clearly.
Pride.
He's thinking about image. He's not thinking
yep.
to keep himself safe. He's lucky she's so loyal to him.
She could have spilled everything.
Or at least one thing that could have trickled.
Right.
Dumb.
So Winky convinced Barty Sr. to let Barty Jr. go to the cup, and he dismissed her so quickly because not only did she lose him, it was her idea to bring him there in the first place, which I think is why he was so irrational. Because he's like, this wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for you. You know what I mean?
Here sucks.
Right.
Clothes.
This means clothes.
He's such a not nice person.
He's such a not nice word.
Don't speak ill of the dead.
He's a bone.
there was no body to be found.
So after Winky was sacked, it was just Crouch Senior and Crouch
Junior. I'm sorry.
She was clothed. She clothed. Excuse me. After she was robed. It was just Senior and Junior alone in the house. And then an insane grin spread across Crouch's face. His master came for him.
It reminds me of like when the Grinch gets the really big smile.
Or even Jack Skellington when he's singing that song in the town hall.
So
what?
I have a question.
I have an answer, possibly.
So his master came for him. Well, this
in a pram.
Exactly. So I was going to say is like, so did Wormtail take some Polyjuice potion of like a lady in the village and just like stole her pram and is pushing it around and like came up to Crouch Senior's door and was like, knock, knock, knock. Hey, we need some food. Can we come in? And then it was Voldy Baby.
I don't know.
He was in his
and
arms.
Then Voldy Baby is like, looks up at Crouch Senior and just goes, Imperial. Know what I'm saying?
No, he didn't Imperial. Mm-hmm. So. Oh, yeah, Crouch
Senior.
Senior, sorry, yeah. No, Voldy came in his arms. It said that straight in the book.
What?
Voldemort came to the house late one night in the arms of his servant, Wormtail.
Yes.
Make me vomit.
Pram.
But I wanted a pram.
All right. Listen, maybe he was in one of those carriers.
Oh, yeah. What are those called?
Baby carrier?
Like a scarf.
Like swaddled?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Headcanon.
Perfect. With a baby Bajoran. That's
cute little, like, owl print on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Mm-hmm. With some stars.
And some snakes.
Yeah.
So Voldemort had found out that Crouch Jr. was still alive from...
Barty Crouch Jr.
From Bertha Jorkins in Albania.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. So he had tortured her. She told him a great deal. She told him all about the Triwizard Tournament, how Moody was going to be teaching at Hogwarts. He tortured her until he broke through that really strong memory charm that Senior had put on her.
Mm-hmm.
So she spilled all the beans on how Crouch Jr. had escaped Azkaban, how his father had imprisoned him so he wouldn't go looking for Voldemort. Quote, and so
Voldemort and Valor.
And so my master knew that I was still his faithful servant, perhaps the most faithful of all.
So, I mean, probably.
Yeah. Because while Snape may have shown loyalty, he wasn't actually loyal to Voldemort.
Well, I was thinking Bellatrix, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, she's crazy. So Voldemort put...
That was me.
She's loyal, all right.
Yeah. She's not Puff, though.
That's very Puff.
Get out. No. So Voldemort put Senior under the Imperius curse and just had him go about his business as usual. Still going to work, still doing his normal thing. Winky is, like, too appalled to speak at this point in time. She just looks petrified. And when Senior was Imperius, if that's how you would say that, Junior was released. So that spell breaks because Senior's no longer in control. So he's himself again, and he's alive as he hadn't been for years. So Dumbledore asks him what Voldemort asked him to do. He asked me whether I was ready to risk everything for him. I was ready. It was my dream, my great ambition, to serve him, to prove myself to him. He told me he needed a place. He told me he needed to place a faithful servant at Hogwarts, a servant who would guide Harry Potter through the Triwizard Tournament without appearing to do so, a servant who would watch over Harry Potter, ensure he reached the Triwizard Cup, turn the cup into a portkey, which would take the first person to touch it to my master. But first, and Dumbledore finishes with, you need... Alistair Moody. His blue eyes are blazing, but
blue.
His voice remained calm.
Blazing.
Do you hear that, director of Goblet of Fire? Calm.
Okay.
Mike Newman.
Yeah.
Mike.
Listen here, Mike.
Newman.
Do you know what the word calm means? You need to calm down.
Need to calm down. Boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom.
I'm trying to make this bigger. These old eyes.
Boom, 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 boom.
Shade never made anybody less gay, so what-oh.
Didn't make Dumbledore less gay. I mean, I'm just saying.
Oh,
I love that. Yep. Oh,
I love that.
You're Shane not never made wrong.
Dumbledore less gay, so uh-oh. Okay.
We need my a daughter is trying to sleep.
You're being too loud. You need to calm down.
Megan's about to get it. Oh, goodness. Love it. All right, so.
Oh, hi, Sarah. Go ahead. Continue.
Moldy Voldy, she says, basically asks Junior for a task, and Junior is willing to do anything for his master. So Voldemort needs someone loyal to him at Hogwarts to make sure that Harry would be placed into the tournament and to get him to the cup. So the cup needed to be turned into a portkey, but he needed some others. But he needed someone others wouldn't question, and that's where Moody comes in. So he needs someone so on the good side that nobody would question anything that he's doing.
Right. Moody.
And that's Moody. So Wormtail and Junior make the Polyjuice potion before, and they go to Moody's house, and Moody puts up a fight, but they manage to subdue him, and just in time to put him into his own trunk.
Oh,
so Junior adds Moody's hair to the potion. He takes his leg and eye, and he's Moody now. So by the time that the please men, just kidding, the ministry shows up, it's Moody, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
that's fast.
It is fast. Junior as Moody makes the dustbins move around to cover up the prior commotion, and then that's when Arthur Weasley gets there. So Junior keeps Moody alive so he can continue getting his hair and to question him using the Imperius curse. So he told Snape that he was ordered to search his office when really he was just getting more ingredients to make the Polyjuice potion. And I like in the movie how Dumbledore is like, now we know who's been stealing from your cupboards.
Just yeah. Gotta like throw that dig out there.
And then he like closes the flask with like a snap. So Wormtail continues to care for Voldemort. And after attacking Moody in Junior's house, with his father there, but Senior escapes. So Barty Crouch Senior, who was in prison, soon fought it, just like his son. And Voldemort didn't want him leaving the house anymore because he started to send those letters to work. But Wormtail sucks at his job, and basically the work's not getting done. And so that's where the rumors start, where people are like, what's up with Barty Crouch? He's not showing up at Hogwarts. All his work is being done and sent through letters to, what does he call Percy? Weatherby?
Weatherby.
So everything's going to Weatherby, right? So Barty Crouch Sr. ends up escaping. And Voldemort figures out that he's on his way to Hogwarts to tell Dumbledore everything. But because when in doubt, go tell Dumbledore, right?
Truth.
Voldemort tells...
Veritas.
Veritas. That's going to... Yeah, that's a thing now.
Veritas.
Yeah.
Veritas. So Voldemort tells Junior about his father. So Barty Crouch Jr. is on the watch. He's watching the Marauder's map that he got from Harry, and he's waiting for his father. So he waited about a week, and, oh, yes?
Lupin warns Harry that that map in the hands of an enemy is the worst.
Yeah, and he's just like, Moody's like, can I borrow this? And Harry's like, oh, sure. Yeah, sure, go ahead, best friend.
Yeah. No.
Why would you let anybody borrow it?
Heck no. I'd be like, no.
Because it's an Auror. It's a trusted Auror.
No. It's my map. Get your grubby fake hands off of it.
What is, what does Dory say? Heck no, the undertow?
Yeah.
Heck no, the undertow. No, that's not it. Heck no.
We when say we see the undertow,
we say heck no. That's it. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. Talking about the ocean. Anyway, so he waited a week before his father was spotted on the grounds. And so Junior waits under the invisibility cloak, his invisibility cloak, I should add, in the forest to get his father alone. So this is where Crumb and Harry are having that conversation that Harry's like, I can't believe I'm having this conversation with Crumb. So he waits until Harry leaves, and then Junior stuns Crumb and kills his father. And then when he comes into the conversation and she's not happy, she's crying, Master Barty, Master Barty, what is you saying? And so this is where, this is Winky finding out that he's dead.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, how sad for her.
And that Barty did it. Barty Jr. did it.
Like, that has to be literally her worst nightmare.
Because okay, she cares.
But I'm just saying, look at all the bad stuff she's done. I don't feel bad for her.
What bad stuff?
Yeah, what'd she do?
She, what?
She's forced.
She's not forced.
She is, she's magically lawfully bound to that family and to keep their secrets and do as she is told. Magically bound.
That's like the unbreakable vow, okay, bro.
Well, then why does Dobby have his own free will?
He beats himself for it.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have to. He just does it.
I think it's a spell.
No.
Creature has to come, and he doesn't want to do anything Harry says, but because Harry says, quote, master, he has to.
It's a principle thing.
Then why would Creature do it when he wants to serve Master Bella?
Because he feels like
Mistress Bella.
Because it's ingrained in his mind that he has to. Literally, it's like slavery. It's terrible.
I think it's a spell.
Oh, I see both sides of this conversation.
You would.
I know. I know. It's a really hard life to lead. It's a really hard life to lead.
I don't know. Like, I do think that they are brainwashed, yes, but I do also think that it's a magical spell.
I always just
because Harry says Creature's name and Creature appears.
But I feel like it's brainwashing. I feel like he like just feels like he has to do it, but he doesn't actually ever have to do it.
Agree to disagree.
Yeah, that's right. I will agree to disagree because you wrong, girl.
Sure. Anyways, where am I at here?
You're saying Megan's right.
That is false.
That is anti-Veritas.
It is that super is anti-Veritas.
Is it Veritas or Veritas?
I think it's Veritas.
I say Veritas.
I don't know.
Jeez, we're disagreeing on
Veritas
everything.
Serum. Veritas serum. Veritas
serum. Veritas.
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 Veritas. I don't know. Somebody spell it for us. Anyways, let's see. So, okay. So, Barty Crouch Jr. covers his father's body with the invisibility cloak. He watches for Harry on the map. He watches him going into the castle and coming back. And so, Jr. did a double back. And so, he looks like he's just coming to meet them.
You sneaky little
smart cookie.
Sneaky sneak.
So, then Jr. goes back after Dumbledore tells him to look for Senior.
Oh, interesting.
Finds his dad's body under the cloak, Avi, transfigures it into a bone, buries it in the freshly dug earth in Hagrid's front yard. What a spot. Why are you doing in the front yard? People are going to watch you.
Because well, that's where Hagrid had the Nifflers, fresh dirt dug up.
Yeah, I know, but why not just like magic dirt up? Magic bone in, magic dirt down.
Right? Like in the middle of the forest.
Because that would be easy.
Yeah. Ugh. I don't know.
Because the dude's crazy. Crazy. Yeah.
It just seems bananas to me that he's burying this in Hagrid. Where's Hagrid?
Sleeping.
Where's Fang? He would like to chew that bone.
Hanging out with Sirius. Oh. Oh my God. Can you imagine?
No. What if Hagrid found it? Not Hagrid. Fang.
What if Hagrid finds it by digging in the dirt like a dog?
But honestly, what if Fang sniffs it out?
Maybe he did already.
I'm just saying. Gross thought. Anyways, Dumbledore then asks about that night. So Junior offered to take the cup into the middle of the maze, turn it into a portkey on the way, and says how his master's plan worked. He's returned to power, and he will be honored by him beyond the dreams of all the wizards. Quote, the insane smile lit his features once more, and his head drooped on his shoulder as Winky wailed and sobbed at his side. Thus ends chapter 35.
We have one chapter left.
What? There's one left?
No, we have two. We have two.
Two chapters?
We have two chapters.
It's two chapters because the next one, they're all like
is split chatting again. It up.
And then the last one is let's go home and Have a great summer.
Swell. All right. Lightning bolt round. Carly asks, would you use Veritaserum on someone?
No.
And she also asks who. But that may be a personal question. I don't know if I could do that to somebody. Mm-mm. That's taking away their will.
Yeah, if you're going to lie to me, then I don't need you in my life.
Yep. Yup. Meg's like, I would totally.
It would depend on the opportunity.
Like, who do you really need the truth out of right now? Like, nobody in your immediate. I'm sure you would want to give it to other people.
What if you give it to
nobody in my immediate family, but I would really like to use it in politics right now. But that's all I'll say.
Sipping my tea.
If I had the opportunity to use it in a big situation, I would.
Well,
but
yeah.
Close family? No, I don't need to. Friends? No, because if you're lying to me, then I don't need you in my life. So yeah.
I think it'd be good to use for like crimes. Like you're trying to figure out a crime.
Yeah.
But no at the same time, that would, I mean, like, abused, it would undermine, I don't know. It's like, it's a fine line with like the justice system. And it's weird. It's like almost, I'm just trying to think of like
infringing on people's rights.
Kind of. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. You know, I mean, like we have like swearing on the Bible or like a book that's important to you or whatever. But like you still always have free will to decide what you're going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that would almost kind of like undermine the system.
Well, it takes away your free will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in super big situations, it would be cool to use it sometimes.
Especially if you have like...
For people that you
have
think
like
are
DNA,
pathological liars.
If you have like DNA evidence that proves it, but you don't know like how.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
I think it would be cool in certain situations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Vinny asks, if there's a truth serum, do you think there's a lying serum?
Yeah, I do.
It'd be like the movie Liar Liar in real life.
Yes. Oh, my God.
But opposite.
Yeah.
Because he has to tell the truth on that.
Oh, my God.
So you'd be lying all the time.
Yeah.
That'd be weird.
That would be weird. You'd be like... The sky is brown.
I was going to say the sky is green.
Okay. Weird. Vinny also asks, how do Dementors get orders from the ministry?
If they can't see, how do they, like, read letters?
Does it always have to be in person? How can they tell someone is from the ministry or not?
You know what I was going to say? Patronus, but that would drive the Dementor away.
They'd be like, oh, no, another one came. Like,
I bet you they have to send
somebody. They have to send somebody.
Yeah, they'd have to send somebody.
So I guess they understand English, but they can't speak it.
Well, Fudge has to like check in on there every now and then. He says he does it as little as he
can. But how do they communicate?
Someone asked that too.
I wonder if they use sign language.
Maybe, or some sort of, something.
Because doesn't Fudge say at one point the Dementors are angry or they're upset or something?
And he's,
so like, it's got to be body language of some kind. So I'm going to say sign language.
Michelle asks, do you think Newt could find the good side of a Dementor?
Yeah, of course. He always would.
No.
What would he say about them?
He would say that they serve
just
a purpose.
Just need a little lotion.
They have a purpose.
On their little scabby hannies.
I can't handle you, Tiffany.
What?
That was amazing. They just need a little Jergens.
That's what I use in the winter. My knuckles get cracked from washing my... I wash my hands like every 5 seconds.
What if
in the
you
winter.
Did lotion up a Dementor? Would they look great?
Fresh new.
Dear Joe, that's the question I'm going to ask Joe.
If you lotioned up a Dementor, would they have good skin?
Would they become a proper person?
Probably. They become a person again.
Oh, God. Josie asked, do you think the Dementors have secret communications? Also, can you imagine them around a table swapping souls like a poker game? Ah!
What if they did that, though?
But what does that look like?
The blue light?
Yeah.
Trade this blue light for your blue light.
I'll swap you a Sirius Black soul for Bellatrix Lestrange. You know what I'm saying? Like, ooh, I'm going to get the better criminal.
Don't they, like, eat them, though? Where do the souls go? Do they poop them out?
Vinny, how can they play poker if they're blind? I don't know. Maybe there's Braille poker or Braille cards. I bet there is.
I'm sure there are.
Oh, Carly just said they do have Braille cards.
There we go.
Also, Michelle, thank you for the episode title. Appreciate it.
What is it?
Dementors just need lotion. Josie says that is depression like their strength, Dementors, like Popeye's spinach, and is happiness their kryptonite?
Probably.
Yeah.
Like yeah.
She also asked, how do Dementors breed? Which
I just know it involves
despair.
It's just, yeah, they just like
I said appear. It's like mold.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah. really good.
I love that.
I said that it, or I was going to say it involves fog.
What do you think a baby Dementor looks like?
A little scabby person with no
Floating
eyes.
Around.
I'm a little black Dementor clown.
Do not Floating. Compare Pooh Bear to Dementors.
Did you watch South Park? Because they did some horrific things this week.
No. I really dislike South Park.
Marty made me watch it because he had to turn it off because Alana looked at it and was like, Pooh Bear?
Oh, no.
So he had to send her out of the room. And then he made me watch it. And I was like, Marty, I can't stand you. But in fact,
I like
I love
something
him so much.
Happens on the TV like that. And you just look, you just blame Marty. You're like, Marty, even though it's a TV.
He made me watch it.
Oh, God.
It Vinny, was awful.
Vinny asks, are Dementors the physical manifestation of a sad tweet?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Carly says, we don't know a lot about the Crouches, but do you think if Junior had had a sibling, would it have been a serious Regulus thing? Maybe. Or maybe it would have been just as bad.
I think it would depend on Barty Crouch yeah. Sr. and how he treats them.
Well, also how, like, if they don't disappoint him.
Right.
If they're just like him.
Yeah.
Sarah asks, do you think Moody has the all-seeing eye, a.k.a. the Eye of Providence?
The Eye of Providence.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is.
I think his eye is just really cool and magical, though. I don't think it's anything special other than what we know of it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Michelle, how do you think Junior killed Senior?
Oh, the eye from the dollar bill.
Oh.
Vinny, do you know, like, everything?
Everything.
I think you do.
I feel like you're, like, a stinking genius over there.
I think he avoided him.
Yeah, it's probably. I hope it was.
What was
quick
the question?
How do you think Junior
killed Senior?
Oh,
it had to be quick because he was.
It was so fast.
Yeah, he was under a time crunch.
Yeah, I don't think it was anything like physical death. It was magical in some way. But then I think the green light is so stinking bright.
Yeah,
lighting up the night out there.
Was it dark yet? He did talk about how he had, I don't know. I think so.
I think it was getting dark. It was dusk.
Still.
He talked about how it was the great pleasure killing his father. Do you think he savored it at all? Or do you think it was just real quick?
Probably.
I don't think that he wanted
peeps.
To clean it up, so I think it was probably pretty simple.
Yeah. Jennifer asks, what if Judy was not given the task of putting the cup in the middle of the maze? How would he have made it a Porky without giving himself away? He would have come up with some excuse.
He would have imperioed somebody or whatever. He would have
been like, I want to give it a one last minute polish. So it looks real good for the champ.
Mm-hmm.
Carly says, choose a magical creature just for a happy spot. Hippogriff.
Unicorn.
Phoenix.
Those are all happy animals.
Mm-hmm. I love phoenixes.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer also asked, do you think that Veritas serum works on pets? I was thinking that. Like giving it to them would give them the ability to talk to you for a short time. If it did, what animal would you give it to?
Fozzie Bear.
My cat,
Iggy.
Teddy. We would talk of many things.
He would be like, I don't say utter dogs.
I'm not.
I need you to stop speaking for me.
I constantly speak for him. I know him.
You make me think of Sven and Kristoff.
Yeah.
In the best way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm always talking. I'll talk for any random dog. I do it in my car. I talk for the squirrels.
I just want to hear how much Ted loves Red Mouse.
Oh, his Red Mouse and White Mouse.
Red Mouse and White Mouse.
He's got two.
It's cute.
It's freaking adorable.
Jennifer also asked, do you think Veritaserum works on all wizards, or do you think powerful wizards like Dumbledore, Voldemort, and Grindelwald would be able to fight it?
What if you threw it up?
I think that you could fight it.
You can fight it.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but what if you barfed it up?
You'd be like in the middle of a spilling all the beans.
And then you spill really your spill the beans. And then you really spill your beans.
Do Dementors make their clothes or are they born with it?
They're born that way. Like it's Maybelline. Lady Gaga would say. Maybelline. That's it.
Tis all, man. Tis
That's
all.
Mm-hmm. Those are good round little friends there.
I feel like I'm talking a lot.
That's good.
Okay. Fan story?
Fan story.
So this one comes from Ellen Ganley, which Tiff knows a little bit, yeah?
Hi, Ellen.
So Ellen says, I work with Tiffany, and she's been telling me about Swish and Flick for years now. I kept telling her that I would listen, but my mid-30s self was inwardly saying, what is this podcast thing she speaks of? And it never actually happened until recently. I listened to your Chris Rankin interview and am now starting from the beginning and trying to catch back up. It has been a delightful way to revisit the books that I have read countless times. I honestly couldn't tell you how many times I have read or listened to them. I got into Harry Potter the summer before my junior year of high school, right as the fourth book was coming out. My younger brother was talking to my mom about wanting to go get the fourth book, and I had no idea what he was talking about. When I asked my mom, she said, you should read them, you'd like them. So I borrowed the first book from him and devoured it. Then I read the second and third books, all while my brother was reading the fourth one. I basically sat in the corner of his room and stared at him until he finished it, so that I could immediately start reading the fourth one. I finished the first four books in a single weekend.
What?
And then immediately reread them. I was so sad I would have to wait for the fifth one. That happened more than once while waiting for the fifth book, then again with the sixth and the seventh.
Yes.
Excuse me. Yep. When the fifth book did come out, I was working at my college's bookstore and convinced my boss to let me, my brother, and his very red-haired friend dress up as the trio to deliver the pre-orders. Yes. That time, my brother had to wait for me to read the book before he could.
Oh, sweet revenge. That's awesome.
Every time a new book came out, I would reread the entire series. When they started releasing the movies, I would reread the book before going to see the movie so I could compare them. When the seventh book came out, I picked up a copy at midnight and tried to start reading it while driving home. So that didn't work so well. But I got home around 1 a.m. and had the entire book finished by 6 a.m.
Goodness gracious, you read fast.
Wait. Slept for an hour, then got up and got ready for work at 8. I was so tired, but it was so worth it.
That is so like me. So I got the book at midnight. I read until 2. I got up at like 7, went to work, pretended to be sick, and went home and read the rest of the book.
I love that. Oh my God. I'm having a case of the booksies.
Listen, if you tell people that you have to go to the bathroom, no one's going to ask you a question. Oh, kids, don't do this. Do not do this.
But she's not wrong.
I'm not. But don't do that.
Even though I didn't know it at the time, the first Harry Potter book was published on my birthday, June 26th. Shout out to Alana Rose for sharing my birthday.
What?
J.K. Rowling doesn't know it, but that is probably the best present I ever got. Though the interactive wand that my husband bought me in Diagon Alley and the Harry Potter wand TV remote that my brother bought me a couple years ago tie for a close second. Anyways, I'm loving your podcast. You all crack me up, and I look like a lunatic having conversations with you at all, like you can actually hear me.
You're among good company. Most people say that, too.
Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you.
That's a fun story.
Gosh, thank you. And I love that you're listening now. And Ellen, I believe, is going to be heading with us to Ironton.
Hey.
Fest. Yeah, she's going to come hang.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right, we have one more special request. Shout out, if I can speak properly.
That's okay. What did I say earlier?
Spleaking.
Spleaking? What
See,
did you
I can't
say?
Spleak either.
I didn't say anything wrong.
You're
I'm
a liar.
Perfect all the time.
You're a liar, Fred, first of all.
Like a liar. Like a liar.
What did she say?
I don't know. Nothing.
Gosh darn it, Megan.
But anyway, so this episode comes out on October 20th. So it's the best one that we could line up because this person's birthday is on October 25th. Her name's Ellie Hall. She is a proud Ravenclaw, and she's celebrating her 11th birthday.
Hold on. We got to do the Ravenclaw. Woo, 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 woo.
I hope you get a letter.
Yeah. Dude, that is the most important birthday in our Happy Potter fandom.
Yes.
So, and also, you're born in October, so you're automatically cooler than anybody else.
It's a very great month.
So she, just a little... bio about Ellie. She loves Harry Potter and she loves our podcast. Hmm. She listens to us in the mornings and on the weekends, and her mom can hear her laughing in her room. So her mom isn't that into Harry Potter, aww, but she says that she appreciates all of us and the humor and honesty, and she
and how much Ellie enjoys listening.
Yes. Ellie tells her all about us, and she's having fun watching her, like, develop her own interest and love with the fandom.
I love it.
Yeah. So absolutely the happiest birthday to
happy you. Happy birthday, Ellie.
Happy birthday, Ellie.
So cool. I hope you have a great 11th birthday.
Yes. And thanks for being an awesome listener.
Yeah. And shout out to your mom.
Yes.
Heather.
Heather, shout out to you. You're a wonderful mom.
Mom of the century. Mm-hmm. Way to go.
All right. You guys should all go follow us on social media.
And tell Ellie happy birthday.
Yeah. And go and tell Ellie happy birthday.
I don't know if she has a Facebook, but I'm sure her mom probably does.
But don't do it right now. Do it later. Gosh.
On the 25th. The birthday surprise.
So make sure that you follow us on Facebook at Swish and Flick Podcast, Twitter and Instagram at Swish Flick Cast, YouTube, and Patreon, patreon.com/swishflickcast. You can join us for Discord live every episode.
Discord live!
And get access to the Felix Files, plus more. And also check out our website at swishflickcast.com.
All right, so other stuff.
Other stuff.
Other stuff. I mean, it's probably the same as last episode since we're recording the same day.
Yeah.
I might be done with that Count Dooku book. I should be. I only have 3 hours left as of right now. So I'll let you know next time what I like. I don't know. I've been having a lot of fun with some friends on Twitter. It's been a fun time. Being a mom, we'll have been to Boston.
We will.
I'll be 29.
You'll be old.
It's almost Halloween.
It's almost Halloween. Alana's going to be a unicorn.
So cute.
Love it.
So that's, I really don't have much right now. Go check out Tandem Legends podcast, all about the Legend of Zelda video games, if you have no idea what I'm talking about. Go check out Hyperspace Hangout. It's a really great podcast about Star Wars. What else do I listen to? That's kind of it right now, I think.
Up Talking Tolkien.
I don't know those things, though.
Yeah, but it's Ezra. People like him.
I don't know about hobbits.
What are hobbits?
I don't know. Taller goblins.
With hairy feet.
Yeah, go listen to Up Talking Tolkien. What else did he do? Bend the Knee.
Game of Thrones.
Go listen to all those. Give E-Kirk 2006 some love.
Yeah.
And Matt. He's at Super Gains Bros on the internet. Oh, I guess you can follow me on Twitter at TiffSwitch underscore Flick.
Follow me and Katie at the Petrus Family on Twitter and Instagram. Look out for the rest of our travel vlogs. I started editing more of them, so hopefully more of those will be out by the time this comes out. The last time I did a travel vlog, we were halfway through our day at Disneyland Paris. Mm. So I got to finish that up so that I can get to the studio tour vlogs to show you guys. And then follow our friends podcast, Friends Talking Friends. And what was I going to say? I was going to say something.
Hey, the holidays are coming up. If you want poster in your house for like your friends, you know, like Accio Designs on Etsy, I'm just saying.
True, or Swish and Flick.
Also, random, I'm trying to get rid of this stuff, which is sad, but I have some Nightmare for Christmas things that I just don't wear anymore.
Okay.
And I have them up on eBay. And it's almost Halloween.
You're killing me.
This is Halloween. Everybody buy my stuff.
Yeah.
Selling that stuff on eBay. I see you over there.
And I got a little bit of Slytherin in me, right?
Yeah, I know you do.
No. I love eBay. So I just downloaded Confessions of a Shopaholic again by Sophie Kinsella. I love the Shopaholic series. It's like one of my favorite just chicky books series that I've read ever, period. I love it. Chicky books.
I like chicken.
I have discovered that my, like, book genre of choice, aside from, like, fantasy with, like, Harry Potter, Hunger Games, those kinds of things, is specifically British chick literature. It's a thing. I looked it up on Goodreads. There are a bunch of lists, but I want suggestions. I feel like all I do is read the same book series over and over and over again. Like, I've got Harry Potter. I read Shopaholic. I've read it multiple times. I've read Hunger Games multiple times.
What is she shopping for?
Everything. Literally. I wish I was joking. Becky Bloomwood knows no bounds.
I don't understand. That was the chair.
So, so I need more Brit chiclet.
That's
and
gum.
If anybody has any suggestions for British chick literature,
British gum,
I would love it. I love all of Sophie Kinsella's books, like the whole Shopaholic series, and then Can You Keep a Secret? Great book, but I want other ones. So, does anybody have any others that they like? Hit me up. Let me know. You can email me if you want to.
I have one for you.
Meg's Mousetails@gmail.com. Or tweet me at the Peaches Family or DM me on Instagram. Yep.
Trident.
What is that? Oh my God, stop it. I can't.
3 out of 4 dentists. Dentists. I did not see that coming. Oh my God.
I have another. Orbit.
Oh my God. I can't stand both of you.
Hey Meg. You're so extra.
What? Icebreakers. Bubblicious.
I actually like Fruit Stripe.
What a lame.
Does anybody remember Bubble Tape?
Yes, they still like that.
It's the worst.
You're the
worst. No, what about the Ouch Gum?
Oh, God. That
is that
bad.
The one that was Band-Aids?
Yeah.
Wrigley's.
I hate you guys. People, give me book suggestions.
Ask me how I'm doing.
Big Red.
Thriving. Okay, are we really done?
Yes.
All right. For Voldemort.
And Valor.
That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Let them get you down.
I'm spinning everywhere.
Amazing! Just my voice! Carly, yes. Whimsy's absolutely still going.
Hold on.
Yay!
What's another gum brand?
Oh,
I know, I'm thinking so hard. Does Altoids make gum?
No.
Tic Tacs?
No.
Do they make gum?
I don't know. Tic Tac gum, that's a thing.
Testing.
This has been happening too often. Is there something wrong with me?
Probably.
You know, Meg, I'm never going to give you up. I'm
going to let you down.
I just want to say, we're no strangers to love. You know the rules, and so do I.
Oh my God.
We're back.
Hey.
He's back. He's back.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours. Like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.